Welcome back, Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host, and Mondays are always good days around here. We're always so happy to be back and doing this again, but this is a great Monday. We've got two great guests. You got to meet Monica Dumit the first hour, and this hour, Mary Rice Hassan is our guest, and we're going to talk about women's empowerment. We're going to, you know, in this, as we approach the anniversary of Roe versus Wade, we hear all kinds of commentary on the status of women and what are those things that actually empower women. And I'm going to be frank with you. I think in the secular press, most of what we'll hear will be wrong about what actually empowers women. So we decided to ask Mary Rice Hassan to come here and talk with us about genuine empowerment and how we accomplish that. She's the Kate O'Byrne Fellow in Catholic Studies at the Ethics and Public Policy Center in Washington, D.C. She also directs the Catholic Women's Forum, a network of Catholic professional women and scholars seeking to amplify the voice of Catholic women in support of human dignity, authentic freedom, and Catholic social teaching. Mary Rice Hassan, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be on.
And I do want to let the caller know you're welcome to get in on this conversation as well. 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. So if I may just start with a very blunt question, what is women's empowerment? What are we talking about when we're talking about women's empowerment?
Well, I think first we have to start by talking about what do we mean by women? And because you have to start with a fundamental understanding of who we are before you can talk about what it means to be empowered. And it's interesting, the Vatican actually in its writings tends not to use the phrase empowerment, tends to use the phrase the promotion of women. And so some of that is because what the secular culture has done, because it sees everything through the lens of power and oppression.
That makes sense. Right, right. So that's exactly right. And that's part of the trap that we're in, isn't it? That we're constantly speaking, we're thinking about empowering the self.
Right, right. And so what the church emphasizes is, first of all, we're creatures. So we're in relationship with God. We have an equal dignity just because we're human beings, because we're made and loved by God. And that's an important thing to start out and just put out there, because one of the lies that the culture tells women is that their dignity or their empowerment depends on whether, you know, the law or their bank account or their title conveys some sort of importance or recognition. And what the church says is, no, it doesn't matter. You could be someone who is comatose. You could be someone who is poor and poorly educated, but you have dignity. You have a right to be treated with dignity. So that's really the first thing to get out on the table here.
Isn't that interesting that it seems to me that what you're actually giving us is the gospel, in a sense, if we're going to talk about women's empowerment from a Christian perspective, from the perspective that Christ himself gave us, we have to accept what he said about not having worldly values, not just merely being of this world.
Right. And I think that's been a problem, partly because, rightfully so, the Holy Father, all of the recent Holy Fathers have looked to history and have pointed out how in the past women have not been treated with the dignity that they should be treated. But, one of the important things that kind of gets lost in the historical perspective is that the church really elevated women, and the church treated women with dignity and recognized that inherent dignity well before the rest of society. Not that the church always got it right in the practical things, you know, some of that was affected by culture, but that is the gospel teaching. Our dignity comes from God.
888-318-7884 is our number. Mary Rice Hassan is our guest, and we're talking about women's empowerment. I have to say, I thought you were going to go a different direction when you started, and I just want to ask you about this. You said, we have to ask, what is a woman if we're going to talk about women's empowerment? And you went the direction of really of rooting our understanding of what a human being is in the gospel message. But there is actually an actual empirical question out there now about what is a woman.
Right. And so just to continue what the church says is, first, we have equal dignity, but the church also puts out in front that we're different. God created us male and female. And that difference is enduring. And one of the problems in today's society is that it's erasing the significance of sex. Sexual difference is not being recognized in law. Everything is sort of bending and bowing to gender identity, which is this amorphous concept based on a feeling and sort of self-determined. And so one of the challenges right now in our society is we're losing sight of the fact that there are human beings who are women, they're female, and you can't change that. And we're fundamentally different from males. It doesn't mean one is better or worse than the other, but we must acknowledge this difference, because to the extent you erase the difference, you're saying, you're denying what is good and unique about being a female, being a woman. And I can talk about some of those things, but this is a crisis right now in our culture. So this law of understanding between males and females.
It would almost seem like that the what's happened then, if I'm understanding you correctly, is you promote an idea of empowering everyone to choose your own sex, empower people to basically say things that are disconnected from reality. This actually constitutes a grave threat to the actual real empowerment of real women.
Yeah, it does. And one of the problems is that, feminism in the 60s did some good things. In other words, encouraging society to broaden women's participation, allow women to be recognized under the law in ways that were unjust before. But in the process, they twisted things and decided that the way for women to be acknowledged as equal was for women to be, quote, like men.
Yeah.
And erase this. And so that's where the word gender came in, where you say, oh, it's all about your social roles, that biology is not determinative. So they were trying to run away from the reality of motherhood, because that was seen as restricting and confining. And yet, in biology, you define sex according to your reproductive role. So you're male or female by whether your whole body is organized for one reproductive role or another. And there's only two sexes. No person has ever come into this world but for the connection of male and female. So
you better not say that on Twitter. They'll kick you right off of Twitter. That is not allowed anymore. I'm sorry about that, but we have to take a quick break. Mary Rice Hassan is our guest. She is the Kate O'Byrne Fellow in Catholic Studies at the Ethics and Public Policy Center in Washington, D.C. And she's here to talk with us about women's empowerment. If you have questions or if you'd like to get in on that conversation, 888-318-7884. She is not at all unable to take a challenging question. if you're listening to us saying they're nuts, you're welcome to call. Lots of people think we're nuts, and I imagine that might be the case in Mary's life as well. I don't know, but we welcome your call, whether you agree with us or disagree. 888-318-7884. We'll take a quick break. Be right back with more conversation with Mary Rice Hassan on empowerment of women.
There's only one Catholic Answers Live.
The Aquinas Writing Advantage Program is part of Homeschool Connections' set of online courses for your Catholic homeschool. Homeschool Connections' website is homeschoolconnections.com.
Aren't faith and reason two separate and distinct kinds of truth? Why do Christians believe in the biblical creation story when science has disproved it? How can the modern world take religion seriously when they oppose scientific advancements like birth control and stem cell research? In 20 Answers, Faith and Science, you'll find smart, solid answers to these questions and many more, clearing away misconceptions and helping you to understand and explain to your friends and family the complex but ultimately harmonious relationship between religious and scientific truth. 20 Answers, Faith and Science is part of the 20 Answers series from Catholic Answers, offering hard facts, powerful arguments, and clear explanations of the most important topics facing the Church and the world, all in a compact, easy-to-read package. Visit shop.catholic.com and take a look at this exciting new series from Catholic Answers Press.
O Holy Spirit, we thank you for the advancements that have led to improving the health of so many. We beg you to inspire new breakthroughs in overcoming the coronavirus and all serious flu viruses. Protect, we pray, healthcare professionals from the illnesses they are treating, and make them instruments of your healing. Amen.
Did you know you can access Catholic Answers Live right from your phone or other mobile device? Download the Catholic Answers Live app today. It's free, and you'll have instant access to our daily broadcast, the schedule of upcoming shows, and you'll even be able to search the archive and listen to thousands of past shows. The Catholic Answers Live app, available now on iOS and Android.
Welcome back, Catholic Answers Live. Going to be hearing all about the liberation of women, the empowerment of women as we approach the anniversary of Roe versus Wade. And I think it's fair to say, I can ask our guest, Mary Rice Hassan, if she would say that it's fair to say, but I think it's fair to say that the Catholic understanding of what is genuinely empowering, or as in your words, Mary, what genuinely promotes women is very different from what you will find generally in secular media. 888-318-7884 is our number. You're welcome to call with your question. I don't think Mary can hear me right now. I think she's signaling that she can't hear me. Nick, can you help her with that? 888-318-7884, our number. Before we go back to Mary, I just want to let you know we still have a brand new free ebook, 20 Answers Lent. I guess as we're approaching Lent, that became the new free ebook. You just go to shop.catholic.com and get your free copy of 20 Answers Lent. Mary, we have you there with us? Nope. What's that? Mary's having trouble hearing us, having trouble connecting to us. So I am going to go to our first caller, and we will connect our audio with Mary, and I will transmit that question to her. 888-318-7884 is the number. Let's start with Walt in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, listening on the TuneIn app. Walt, happy to have you. Go ahead with your question.
So I have noticed that some priests and bishops seem to be stuck in some time warp, that this church is some oppressive organization that doesn't treat women properly, and therefore we have to change the pronouns in the liturgy and make sure that everybody's included, including emasculating the father by calling him the one. I'm wondering if Mary sees this as well, and if this is sort of like a fake empowerment.
Okay, I hate to tell you this, Walt, but I thought we'd have that little sound issue straightened out, but we didn't get the sound issue straightened out. We're about to have that sound issue straightened out. This is what happens when you talk about women's empowerment. Our guest is Mary Rice Hassan. She is the Kate O'Byrne Fellow in Catholic Studies at the Ethics and Public Policy Center in Washington, D.C. She directs the Catholic Women's Forum, a network of Catholic professional women and scholars seeking to amplify the voice of Catholic women in support of human dignity, authentic freedom, and Catholic social teaching. And all of that makes her the perfect person for our hour this hour, where we talk about women's empowerment. 888-318-7884 is our number. 888-318-7884. And all right, I am getting a thumbs up. Does that mean we have audio? No. All right, come here. I'll tell you what I'm going to do, Walt. You won the prize today. Our assistant producer, Marie, is going to come in with us for a second because Marie set this up. Do we have Mary yet? Okay. Can you hear us, Mary? Oh, she can hear us. I'm having trouble getting sound from her, Nick. So, okay, Mary, I'm sorry. This is a problem on our end, Mary. Thank you for your patience. Marie?
Yeah, hi.
Did you want to answer Walt's question about whether it's in fact patronizing to women that many priests are changing the words of the liturgy, making them more what would appear to be amenable to women in order to try to make the church more appealing to women?
Yeah, well, I think the big issue with that is that we can't alter things that are true. Some things are objectively true, and the way that people feel about them doesn't change the truth of those things. So, for example, the words that we use or that we read in Holy Scripture shouldn't be altered because they're the words of God. And if God determined to use for himself the words father and the imagery of a father in scripture for us, it's not really our place to change it, even if it makes people uncomfortable in some way. And I think that as we learned with Monica Dumit last hour, women have a prominent role in the church. It's just not the same role as men have. But that's not necessarily a problem. I think there are people who are swayed by the times, but our church is 2,000 years old, and we have to stick with what Jesus Christ established.
888-318-7884, the number. Mary Rice Hassenbach on the line with us. Mary, I'm so sorry that we've put you through this. This is not empowering at all.
That's all right. We roll with it, right?
We roll with it. You're welcome to call with your questions about women's empowerment. When we lost you, we were in the midst of talking a bit about how the current gender ideology is actually a threat to the empowerment of women. It does seem to me that many young women, however, are being told that they are somehow the problem if they don't just go along with this, if they don't just go along with the gender ideology.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, there are a couple of things that are concerning. One, it's very hard to be a young woman today. So we're seeing an inordinate number of young women, for example, identifying as transgender or non-binary. So that's one problem. What is it about today's womanhood that is so frightening or so repulsive or so alienating that they want to identify as either masculine or non-binary or something else? In other words, they're repudiating their femininity. So that's one question. But then second, there's the real concern. We know the difference between males and females, and women are vulnerable. Females are vulnerable in the presence of males who might be aggressive. And so one of the things that we're seeing is that when you have men identifying as women and then claiming the right to be in women-only spaces, for example, whether it's women's prisons, we're seeing an increase in violence in those areas, whether it's women's locker rooms, women's restrooms. Women have a right to, you know, to their own privacy and safety. And women's only spaces were an advancement in society, you know, to protect women. And so now we're sort of going backwards by indulging this fiction that somehow a person can identify themselves out of their sex. That if you just self-identify, you claim this gender identity as a, quote, woman, it doesn't matter if you have male genitals. It doesn't matter if your body is as big as, you know, 6'3" and you've been a wrestler and, you know, who knows what. So women are really in danger from all of this.
So the in a certain sense, the revolutions that start in the 1960s, these constant ongoing revolutions, we're told that we just each new revolution that comes along is a new liberation. But what I'm getting from you is that these are not bringing liberation, that these revolutions in human behavior and what's called acceptable and what's called not acceptable, these are not actually liberating human beings and certainly not liberating women.
Right. And it's interesting because in working on this whole issue of gender ideology, I've been working with radical feminists. In other words, women who embrace the concept that there is, that sexual difference is real and that they don't want men coming into their female protected spaces. And so it's an interesting alliance, but what's at the root of it is a willingness to acknowledge biological reality that you can't change sex, and sex is constitutive. It's definitive of so much about who you are. It doesn't determine your personality. It shouldn't determine your opportunities and things like that. But it's determined so much about who we are, including issues of medicine. And one of the advances in the past 20 years has been that medicine has been willing to acknowledge that male bodies and female bodies are different.
888-318-7884. Yeah, we're all familiar with the fact that like heart studies used to be done only on men. And it turns out women's hearts are very different. Women's heart health is very different from men's.
Right.
And so we can acknowledge those advances, but without getting caught in the madness, and mm-hmm. it sounds like to me. Well, there are quite a few people who are on the phone and like to talk with you. Shall we go to the phones?
Sure.
All right. Let's start. Do we have Heather in Tulsa, Oklahoma, or no? We do? Let's go to Heather in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Go ahead, Heather, with your question.
It is very hard for me to listen to this as a medical professional, because saying that there has never been someone who's come into this world that's not a male or female is biologically incorrect, scientifically incorrect. We have atypical genitalia. We have atypical sex. We have people that are born that have both tissue from both male and female. You're leaving out these people when you're making these statements.
All right, Heather.
Well, let me clarify something if I can. What I said was there's never been a person who's come into the world but for the union of male and female. In other words, it takes a male and a female to create new human life. And sex is a category or a classification according to your reproductive role. So male and female create new life. That doesn't mean that when a child is in utero, something can't go wrong. And as you know, as a medical professional, there can be someone who is born with ambiguous genitalia because something goes wrong. We call that a difference or a disorder of sexual development. But that person is, their body is created to be either male or female. And most of the time you can type that, even with some of these what are called intersex disorders, you can still figure out whether someone is carrying the SRY gene. And so we can make those determinations in spite of differences in their genital development. But just because something goes wrong in utero doesn't change the fact that we're male or female. Just like sometimes in heart development, something goes wrong. It doesn't mean the heart is not supposed to have a certain number of chambers and function a certain way. So that doesn't make someone have less dignity or be less of a person because they have this developmental difference or disorder. But it doesn't change the fact either that we're male or female, even if it's sometimes for that very small number of people, it may be difficult to determine that at birth, or it may require extra testing.
Heather, did
my comment initially was male and female, it takes male and female to make new life. Sex is binary because that's what sex is about. It's determined by your reproductive role. There is no third sex that's going to enter into reproduction.
Does that sound reasonable to you, Heather? We're made male and female. There is no third sex.
No, because that's like saying that you have certain chromosomes that make you male or female. You just don't know when they're born, which is not true, because some people are born with only an X or two X's and a Y, and they might have different external organs from their internal organs, which causes them to have different hormones. Some of them may not be strictly female hormones or strictly male hormones. So to say that they are either male or female is wrong.
That's what upsets me. No, it's not, because what you're confusing is the fact that something can go wrong in some of these manifestations, whether it's genitals, whether it's a chromosomal abnormality, whether it's a hormonal abnormality. That does not change the fact that human beings are male or female. If something goes wrong, it's just like a male or female who something goes wrong in the development of their heart, as I said, or their brain or their legs or whatever it might be. It doesn't create a third sex. What it is an ambiguity where it's difficult for us to type them, for example, at birth. But it's not like that creates a sex spectrum, because sex is the organization of the body towards a reproductive role, and that's male or female.
Heather,
that's just Heather.
I'm going to say ahead. Thanks. I appreciate that. I'm going to let Heather go, because this is actually I really do appreciate your objection. I think that many people share it, and I'm glad that you were able to call and make it. 888-318-7884 is the number. 888-318-7884. The obstacles to women's the promotion of women in the world are myriad. We wouldn't say that this is the only option. So I don't want to just do a complete program on gender issues, although you're welcome to call on the gender issues. But there is a kind of mania for this at the moment, which involves denying. If you deny that a woman is, that there is such a thing as a woman, how do you promote the good of women?
Right. And in fact, many of the advances that have come about with special programs or trying to promote women, that phrase that the Vatican uses, by giving them opportunities that they might otherwise not have had. For example, the emphasis on STEM education and bringing women into some of those professions where they haven't been before. All those sort of go out the window if all of a sudden they're open to people according to how they self-identify, not according to whether they're male or female.
Mary Rose Hassan is our guest. More on empowering women right after this.
Catholic Answers Live. We're here for you.
If you spend any time on Twitter, Facebook, or mainstream media, you're probably familiar with the litany of slogans that skeptics employ to rescue you from the foolish belief that God exists. The constant onslaught seems to leave people with the idea that they have no alternative but to embrace atheism. How can a Christian respond? In One Less God Than You, John DeRosa breaks down 20 of the most common atheist challenges and shows you how to craft effective answers. Atheism is more aggressive and widespread than ever. Read One Less God Than You and prepare yourself to respond with the joyful truth that God is real. To get your copy of One Less God Than You, visit shop.catholic.com today or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Did you know you can access Catholic Answers Live right from your phone or other mobile device? Download the Catholic Answers Live app today. The Catholic Answers Live app, available now on iOS and Android.
To many people, even many Christians, purgatory is a fantasy, or worse, a wicked lie invented by the church to make salvation complicated and keep people in fear. But I'm here to tell you that purgatory is fact, not fiction. The Bible supports it, Christians have historically believed in it, and it makes theological sense. In my new book, Purgatory is for Real, I provide the evidence and reasoning to help you understand this controversial doctrine and demonstrate how it's actually a joyful, hopeful reality, not something shadowy and mysterious, but a sign of God's love and mercy. To get your copy of Purgatory is for Real, visit shop.catholic.com today or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Hope you are enjoying Martin Luther King Day if you're here in the United States. If you're not here in the United States, we have the day off. 888-318-7884 is our number. Mary Rice Hassan is our guest, and we're talking about women's empowerment. Particularly, we're talking about this because at this moment, because there's certainly going to be a great deal of talk in the secular media. I always like those panel discussions. Every cable news channel now has the panel discussions. And I'm sure that many of those panel discussions will involve a great many fictions about what actually is liberating, empowering of women, and what promotes the interests of women. And that's why we asked Mary Rice Hassan, the Kate O'Byrne Fellow in Catholic Studies at the Ethics and Public Policy Center, to join us for this hour. 888-318-7884 is the number, 888-31-TRUTH. So there's many, many – it seems to me almost that we have – I hate to say it this way, but it does seem like this. We've almost got a society that is designed to terrorize young women, like that if you don't go along with the program, there's something drastically wrong with you. And part of the program is don't act like a woman. Don't want the things that a woman wants. Don't plan to have a life that would have normally been recognized as a woman's life. Get in there in the corporate environment. Use the contraceptives so that you're not fertile, and fight for what's yours.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think women are being sold an idea of what's fulfilling in life. And the same thing with men, you know, that we measure our worth and our fulfillment in life by our bank accounts or our titles or what we can put on our resume. But in reality, as a Christian, we're relational. And so the measurement, the fulfillment of our life is in giving of ourselves to others. And that's what love is about. And so women need to have a fuller vision than what's on offer from the culture, which tells women, unfortunately, particularly in connection with the whole contraception and abortion issue, that the only way you can be equal and participate in society is if you make your body function much like a man's in terms of what happens when you have sexual relationships. And so that's been why contraception and abortion have seemed to be the premise of women's equality. And instead, we have to turn that around and we have to say, no, women deserve to, we need society to make room for us as women. And as women, we are the ones who bring new life, who nurse new life, who, you know, who raise children. So there has to be more of a social willingness to make room for women on our terms, not insisting that we freeze our eggs, which of course is not moral, or that we contracept until we're sort of past the time when fertility, the natural window of fertility, and therefore you're told, okay, go pursue artificial reproductive technologies or to have an abortion because it's inconvenient with this moment in your career. You know, we have to reject that because it's not empowering to be told that your fertility is a defect. It's not empowering to be told that the way to be equal is to somehow be less than you are as a woman, that you have to be like a man in terms of your fertility, your, you know, your relationship life, your commitment to family. And women just view things differently. In fact, that's one of the great things about women. That's what, like John Paul II said, women have two great tasks. One is to bring dignity to the conjugal life, and to bring men into that, to bring more of a commitment, because that relationship between male and female is what's going to strengthen marriage and family life. But he said there's a second task. Women have to shape the moral dimension of culture. Women are needed in the culture, because if we look at this culture, you know, the moral dimension's not going so well. And I would suggest that's because, you know, women who see the truth about the dignity of the person, the worth of human life from conception to natural death. Women need to be out there bringing those messages forward and shaping that dimension of culture. So women are needed in the culture as well as in the home.
Our number is 888-318-7884. It does seem to me that the Cosmopolitan magazine version of women's empowerment almost guarantees that the world will be constructed so as not to be hospitable to things that women do, like pregnancy and nursing, mm-hmm. and all of that. That, mm-hmm. Because it almost seems like that glitzy magazine is there to convince a woman to do the things that make it possible for society not to have to deal with her femininity.
Exactly, and we can perform all sorts of jobs, but that's not the fulfillment of who we are. And yet society says your value is as a worker, you know, as a paid worker, instead of having a dignity and being called to live your vocation as a woman or a man. And part of that is the call to family life. And women, given the choice, there are plenty of social science surveys over decades now that show that given the choice, most women who have children would prefer to work part-time. And when you ask men the same question, they do not answer the question that same way. And we want men to increase their commitment to family life. But why are women supposed to pretend that that's a bad thing, that we want to spend more time with our children,
yeah.
that we want to really raise them? That's not a bad thing. That's a good thing.
We are very confused about which things are good and bad in our society. Mary Rose Hassan is our guest. 888-318-7884 is our number. Mara in Colorado Springs, Colorado, listening on St. Gabriel Radio. You are next, Mara. Go ahead with your question.
Hi, Mary. Thanks for taking my call, guys. My question is, let's see. How can women, practically speaking in the world, lead others or lead the church with their vocation of being able to receive above and beyond men?
I think you're referring to our receptivity, which is something that the church talks about. And I think the way to understand receptivity is, one, it's receptivity towards the person. So someone who is single or someone who has no children is receptive in the sense that they're sensitive to the value of others. They're tuned in to the person in a different way. And they need to, you know, it's a gift when they can live that and be raising that awareness wherever they are, and acknowledging the dignity of the other person. But receptivity is not passive. You know, I think sometimes people hear that word receptivity and they think, oh, women are supposed to be passive and sort of keep your head down and focus on just what's at home. And that may be what a particular woman is called to. We're supposed to be just in our relationships, and women have a natural desire, typically speaking, to spend time, especially when their children are young. But yet, that doesn't mean that that's your whole life, because I'll tell you what, I am now an empty nester, and I've raised 7 kids, and it has gone by in a snap. So one of the things that our society, one of the lies that our society tells women is that right now you have to have it all. You have to have everything. You got to have the career, the bank account, the 401k, the everything. And maybe you can fit kids in there. And yet I think there's a natural rhythm to our lives, and to be responsive to what God's asking of us in the moment, and to ask, what does my family need? What do my children need? And to be responsive to that, and to be patient, that our gifts and talents are not wasted, but they may be used in ways that we don't necessarily envision when we're 22 and we're sort of mapping out this perfect life's path. Life is curvy and has lots of off and on ramps and detours sometimes. And if we're attentive to the Lord, he shows us the right path, and we have to be patient with that.
Thanks, Mara. Thanks so much. As you're talking, Mary, the thing that's lacking in almost everyone's life in the modern world is the sense of being welcome somewhere, welcome where we matter. And when you talk about receptivity, not just as passivity, but being able to receive the person, you think, oh, that's what's missing in our society.
Mm-hmm. Oh, totally. I mean, if you just think about the loneliness in our society, that there's been a lot of surveys lately about how the percentage of people who have no one they can call when they're lonely, when they need something, no one they can depend on, that percentage is going up. People need others, and women in particular, it really is a gift. We're made for others, and I think part of that is because of our maternity. We're made with literally room for another, and I think that builds into us an awareness and a consciousness of other people. Again, whether we're physically mothers, or whether we're women and we're living a single life or we don't have children, we still have that sense of awareness of others. And that's what makes it different when you have men and women collaborating together, that you get something that's different and better for the culture, for society. That's why the Pope was saying, you know, it's important for women to be involved in business and shaping the culture and education and in government, because we see things differently. You know, we look at things differently, and that's a gift. That's what we want. We want that collaboration of men and women, each of us being who we're called to be.
It's a beautiful vision, actually, a really beautiful vision, one so much lacking in our world. We're so grateful to have Mary Rice Hassan here with us to discuss it. If you'd like to discuss the empowerment of women, the promotion of the interests of women from a Catholic perspective, whether you're Catholic or not, you are welcome to call 888-318-7884. Got to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more Catholic Answers Live right after this.
It's all about the truth. Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Do you want to end abortion, halt the attack on traditional marriage, and ensure religious freedom for ourselves and for our grandchildren? To do this, we must convert the culture. St. Paul Street Evangelization is a grassroots initiative that recognizes this need and takes it to the streets. If you're interested in peacefully sharing the gospel in your area, visit streetevangelization.com to learn more.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
What do you do on Sundays? You go to church? No, I golf. Ever make a hole in one? No. Well, why don't you pray a little bit? Pray. Yeah, pray. Oh, why I need to pray? I could give you 50 reasons.
For more information on Mother Angelica, visit Religious Catalog at EWTNRC.com.
How can a human woman be God's mother? Where in the Bible does it say that Mary was sinless and a perpetual virgin? What can I do to build and deepen my relationship with Mary as my spiritual mother in heaven? In 20 Answers Mary, you'll find biblical evidence for Marian doctrine and devotion, answers to common objections to Catholic teachings about Mary, and guidance on how to imitate Christ as you get to know the Blessed Mother like you've never known her before. 20 Answers Mary is part of the 20 Answers series from Catholic Answers, offering hard facts, powerful arguments, and clear explanations of the most important topics facing the Church and the world, all in a compact, easy-to-read package. Visit shop.catholic.com today and take a look at this exciting new series from Catholic Answers Press.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. Our guest is Mary Rice Hassan. She is the Kate O'Byrne Fellow in Catholic Studies at the Ethics and Public Policy Center in Washington, D.C., and she also directs the Catholic Women's Forum, a network of Catholic professional women and scholars who amplify the voice of Catholic women in support of human dignity, authentic freedom, and Catholic social teaching. And she's here to talk with us about women's empowerment. What is, in fact, truly empowering for women? We need that, not just because we need to know that as a bare fact, but also because we need an antidote to the nonsense often being promoted in the culture. 888-318-7884 is our number. We're happy to provide that antidote. Joe in South Bend, Illinois. That's a different South Bend. Joe, go ahead with your question for Mary Rice Hassan. Joe?
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead with your question, Joe.
Okay, good. Yeah, it's South Bend, Indiana.
Oh, okay. I read it wrong. Sorry, Joe.
Mary Rice Country. or Mary Hassan, as she became known later.
Sounds like Joe Bajakis.
It is. You could recognize me after we haven't talked in years. Yeah. Anyway, chastity and empowerment of women. The most, when I go to church or something like that and talk to people that I know or whatnot, sometimes there's women there who are, they've got a power about them. They're powerful and I know it has to do with chastity. In religious situation, it becomes extraordinary. So, what kind of stuff would you say about chastity and empowerment?
Thanks, Joe.
Sure, great question. You know, chastity is the integration of your sexuality into who you are, right? So someone who is chaste is someone who has mastered their sexual desire, but has also ordered it. So if you're picking up a sense that someone who is chaste is also sort of empowered, it's true, because we're empowered in Christ. The more we're living faithfully according to his design, the more that we're growing in virtue, the more that we're working to rein in and to conquer those tendencies to sin that we all have, that's empowering. And I think that is reflected in the person that we see and why we often admire so much particularly some of these sisters, religious sisters that we see in public life, because their chastity is of a certain kind. We're all called to be chaste, no matter what you're, whether you're married or single. You have to live chastity according to your vocation. But they're such a public witness to that willingness to order their sexuality, but give of themselves in a very concrete way to a whole lot of people because they've given themselves to Christ first. So that's empowering. And that's, there are so many beautiful witnesses out there among a number of different orders. And I think that's just, it's an exciting aspect of womanhood and something the church can offer, because the world sorely needs examples of dynamic, beautiful, strong women who are living holy lives.
What do you think, Joe?
Yeah. One other thing I'd like you to cover. Remember where John Paul II talked about, he said that chastity is the door to personality. And I think it's in the catechism. He might have said that. I read it somewhere.
Well, you know, Joe, I think that makes sense, because we can be more fully who we are when we're not sort of fighting all these desires that take us in different ways. So again, that's that whole idea of chastity, integrating our sexuality into who we are, which allows our personalities to flourish. And we're not all meant to be cookie cutters, even though we all are called to live the virtues. It looks different according to each person and the gifts that each one of us has. So I think you're onto something there, that our personalities flourish and our individuality flourishes the more virtuous we are, the closer we are to that image that Christ has for each one of us. And it's a personal, you know, plan and personal call towards each one of us. We're not cookie cutters.
Joe, thank you so much. I hope that was all satisfying to you. Thank you so much for the call. There are lots of folks that would like to talk with our guest, Mary Rice Hassan. And so I'm going to keep going down the phone list here. Elizabeth in Ypsilanti, Michigan, you are next. Go ahead, Elizabeth.
Yeah, hi. I'm sure that you've had this question many times before, but I haven't heard it discussed for a while. I'm a single mother, have been since 2003, have a couple of kids and a couple of daughters, and I'm just interested in what you feel is the way that the church has empowered single mothers. I mean, we could talk about single fathers too, but we're talking about women today. So I'm just interested. I'm sorry, my phone just dinged. I'm just interested to know what you feel our place is. I mean, I have obviously my own point of view, my own feelings about it, but I'd be very interested to hear what you feel is a place, and indeed a place of empowerment for single mothers.
Thanks, Elizabeth.
Yeah, so good question, because I think there are a lot of single mothers out there for whatever reason, whether it just, there are a variety of reasons that someone can land in that place. And so here's what I would say. You know, the church values your place in the church, but you also need, and I think have a right to expect support and encouragement from others in the church, because it is a tough thing to be raising a child by yourself. And that's why in God's design, you have mother and father raising the child together. And sometimes that's something, you know, happens and that's not possible. And that can happen for a lot of reasons. Again, you know, whether it's death or divorce or abandonment or all sorts of reasons. So what you're doing is you're investing in your child. You're a mother, the same as everyone else, but you've got sort of a greater call on the rest of us, because we all need to be supporting and helping those who are carrying a greater responsibility. So I guess what I would say is, don't feel like there's something deficient with you. There isn't. You know, you have a beautiful call to motherhood. You're raising your children, but that's a huge job. And so we, the church, need to be supporting women who find themselves again, for whatever reason, raising children on their own, or fathers who are raising children without the mothers, the larger church needs to step in and be supportive, because you still need opposite sex role models. You still need extra support. It's very difficult, especially in this culture, to be raising a child by yourself. So, you know, I my hat's off to you, and I'm sure you're a wonderful mother and love your children, and I hope that you have many good friends and family and people in your church family who you can call upon to support you and encourage you in this road.
Elizabeth, I want to say thanks. I hope that it's helpful to you. I got so many people on the line and very few minutes left, so I got to keep moving. Gretchen in Nevada, listening to EWTN on Channel 130 Sirius XM Satellite Radio. You are next, Gretchen. Go ahead with your question for our guest, Mary Rose Hassan. She just dropped after all that time of waiting? All right. Okie dokie. Let's go to Bob in Nebraska, listening on Spirit Catholic Radio. Bob, go ahead with your question for Mary Rice Hassan.
You bet. Thanks for letting me call in. It's kind of hearkening back to, I think, the first caller in the hour who was talking about the fact that people are born both male and female. And I think you did a great job of explaining that, but that isn't true. But she seemed to keep on going back to the hormones, different characteristics that people have. But isn't it helpful to point out that DNA is a great determinator of male and female, and that is always something that is either male or female?
Yeah, so here's what I'd say, just to keep things sort of short here, is there's a website that I've helped to put together. It's called personandidentity.com. And you can, on that website, find plenty of answers to questions about this whole idea of gender ideology, but also the question of disorders of sexual development. Because you're right in terms of picking up sort of some of the issues with that first call. One of the problems is that in our society, people like to say that we're quote, assigned a sex at birth as male or female, just based on an inspection of our genitals. That literally is what the kind of language that's used, as if being male or female is simply a matter of sort of parts. And if you replace the parts, you're suddenly a different sex. And that's just not true. We're in every cell of our body, you know, the DNA, as you were talking about, every cell of your body is male or female. And that doesn't change. Even if someone who is identifying as transgender goes through all these surgeries, their body is still sexed male or female. And it's interesting, if you look at the informed consent, I'm an attorney, if you look at the informed consent documents that they have to sign before taking hormones that are supposed to, quote, you know, change their body, well, they call that feminizing or masculinizing the body. In other words, you're changing the appearance. But there's no pretension that you're changing a person's sex, because you can't. A person is male or female. And that's a gift. You know, we need to embrace that instead of kind of muddying things and confusing our younger generation that they can somehow determine who they are, which denies God's creative power. He's in his design. He's created us male or female, and that's a good thing. It's up to us to discover the goodness in that and to give each other room and space to express our personalities and our interests in different ways without, you know, putting stereotypes on people, but recognizing the beauty and dignity of being male or female instead of rejecting that.
Bob, thanks very much for the call. I do want to ask you this before we let you go, our Mary Rice Hassan, our guest. The Catholic Women's Forum, is this something that people can find out more about and look into if they're interested?
Sure.
Go ahead.
Sure. We have a website, CatholicWomen'sForum.org, and we have a newsletter. You can sign up for that, and we'll keep you informed of different things, writing, books that we recommend, things like that. And then we have the other website that pertains to Christian anthropology and gender ideology, which is personandidentity.com.
Mary Rice Hassan has been our guest. I assume that the Catholic Women's Forum is welcome in all of the feminist circles. Mm-hmm. The feminists just love having Catholic women. Am I correct about that? Or?
Yeah.
but
it depends.
Yeah, it's a corrective and a balance, and it certainly provides that. And I wish you all the success with it, and I hope many people will discover the Catholic Women's Forum. Mary Rice Hassan has been our guest. She is associated with the Ethics and Public Policy Center. That, as a matter of fact, the Kate O'Byrne Fellow in Catholic Studies at the Ethics and Public Policy Center. But do check out Catholic Women's Forum. Mary, thanks so much. God bless you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Hey, all this week, well, as a matter of fact, all this month, we're going to be getting the propaganda. And so assistant producer Marie said to us, tell you what, I'll find the smartest women in the world if you'll have them on as guests, and we'll talk about the truth about women in the world today. So that continues all this week right here on Catholic Answers Live. We'll see you for more of that tomorrow, God willing, when we do it again.